Merry Christmas, Acts Church. Merry Christmas. It is a good one. I appreciate so much you being with us here tonight, deciding that we would be a good group to come and hang out with on Christmas Eve is amazing. And I left my gum with me, and I'm going to set that up here, and that's going to be disgusting. You guys can watch that the whole time. It's not going to move. This is an awesome celebration that we have. And thank you so much, worship team, for how well those old songs reinterpreted, isn't it, in a new context? Terrific. So much fun to get to sing those passionately and vehemently. So it might seem like an interesting opening comment to a Christmas Eve service, but I have a confession. I like reality TV. And that's an embarrassing confession to make. I like reality TV. For some reason, it catches me. More than just normal scripted TV, for some reason, there's something about reality TV that really, really gets me. Is anybody else a reality TV junkie? Anybody willing to admit, come out clean, it's okay. This is Reality TV Anonymous right here, okay? Hi, my name is. I love some of them. One of my favorites is actually a program called Axemen. Has anyone ever seen it? It's just this program of all these guys, these rough and tough dudes, cutting and dragging lumber. And it's so silly because it's just these guys back and forth. But every single time there's something breaks or something goes wrong and you get to hear the guys scream at each other and someone throws their hat. And there's always something that goes on back and forth. And I enjoy it so much. Man, there are some other reality competitions that I've watched, of course, over the years. I also like that TV show. Have you guys ever seen Restaurant Impossible, where they have that chef come in and he takes these terrible restaurants and he tries to turn them around? There's something about them that just grabs my attention for some reason. How many people are reality TV watchers? You at least have one program that you like to watch. Maybe you don't get to always time, but there's something that stands out. Go ahead. Go. It's church. Don't lie to me. Reality TV, for some reason, it took off. Is anybody a Here Comes Honey Boo Boo fan? Anybody? See, no one's willing to admit that, are they? Okay, someone over here. Okay, it's okay. Good. I appreciate it. Someone actually honest here. Okay? The whole reality TV thing is so interesting. You know what the original reality TV show is, right? Cops. Cops. That's the original reality TV show, man. It came about in the 80s. And you got to see people get chased down. It was reality TV, unscripted, just walking with these police officers. And after some other ones kind of came around, it became this hit. In the end of the 90s, beginning of the 1000s, some of these shows come up, like Big Brother and Survivor. And all of a sudden, it just became this big phenomenon. People love this reality TV. It's not scripted. It's not this. We just get to see people's real reactions. And there's something about that because it just exploded as a genre all of a sudden. A million different reality TV shows. There's reality TV shows about anything you can imagine right now. Just about anything you can imagine, there's reality TV. There's a reality TV show where they literally just focus around people buying junk out of storage lockers. Who pitches that, right? We're going to follow guys who buy junk out of storage lockers. And people are like, is that actually a real thing? Yes, that's a real TV show that people watch. A real reality TV show. Then there's tons of other ones now which just focus around a person. And it's not even that there's like any reason, right? Like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or ones like that. There's no theme to it. You're just watching people live life. And I don't know why, but a ton of people watch it. There's something about reality TV that hits us for some reason. I don't know if it's the fact that it is unscripted, so we think maybe anything can happen. Or maybe it's the fact that those people are just common people. I know, I think that's part of it that kind of gets it for me. They're just common, ordinary people, and you get to see their reactions, and it's not just all this fake stuff. So when you see somebody really blow up, maybe it makes it more interesting because it's like, someone didn't write that. That's really how angry he is. Or you see some fight go down, it's like, that really happened. There's something about us that loves that piece of it. These TV crews follow these people all over the place, and they all just wait for moments to happen. I mean, for every hour you know that we see on TV, there has to be like 1,000 that wasn't used, right? The same boring stuff day in, day out. But they wait for that one moment where something breaks, something goes wrong, someone says something wrong, and all of a sudden, all the cameras, and it's about that one moment that we can capture. And sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, this is what comes to mind. That it's like a reality TV show, and all of a sudden you're just kind of reading along, and then something happens, and you're like, whoa, I could just imagine like all the TV crews like swinging, right? Like, oh my goodness, did you just see this? Here's just one. There's this reality TV show a long, long time ago, about 2,000 years ago, okay? And what it was focused on was following shepherds around. It makes sense, right? You got all these different things. And there's this program where they'd follow these people around. It was called herders or something like that. Or herders or the bad guys of Bethlehem. Shepherd's pie. I don't know. Some catchy name, though. One or the other. And they're following these guys around, and they're watching them do their job, and we get to learn a little bit more every week about them, you know. And we just watched this episode where, you know, Tim was counting the sheep, and all of a sudden, you know, he saw one of the sheep going the wrong way, and he had to correct it. And you're like, oh, okay, that one. Then we switch over to Tim and Bob, and they're having this big fight over who was supposed to buy the feed for the sheep. You were supposed to buy it, and this big fight erupts, and you see the TV crew's trying to capture it. Then all of a sudden we get to see Bill, and Bill is counting the sheep, and all of a sudden he gets to 102, 103, where's 104? And then it goes to commercial, of course, because that's that's how it is. Then they come back, and then they start back like 3 minutes earlier and show you it again. 103, where's 104? The music comes up and everyone's thinking, what happened? And they show a wolf running along the edge of the thing. You see another person, then all of a sudden he realizes it was just standing behind him the whole time, and the music changes. And people who are laughing have watched reality TV show, because that's like every moment. You're like, it's going to be, it's nothing. Dang, again, still, something else born. But they're following these shepherds around, and all of a sudden this thing happens. Man, this thing happens that no one sees coming. It's in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Same old, same old. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. These film crews are following around these shepherds, same old every day, same old every day. One sheep got away, found it, brought it back, feed the sheep, care for the sheep, sleep. Next day, same thing, and all of a sudden this moment happens that none of them would see coming. Boom. This angel appears, and this radiance of God blasts forth. And they're in the presence of this angel, terrified. And he reveals this amazing, joyous news. And all of a sudden, this huge crowd, maybe thousands or maybe millions on the hills of angels, all singing together in unison, praise to God. Talk about a major turn of events. For a group of shepherds, all of a sudden, their night took a decisive turn. It's going to be just another night. And all of a sudden, boom, the entire night changed. This is where if I was watching the TV show, I would call BS. I'd be like, no, scripted. No way. No way that just happened accidentally. We've seen those things before, right? Where something happens and you're like, yeah, that just happened, sure. Okay, yeah, with a whole bunch of preparation and a whole bunch of this. Obviously, there's no way. We're watching these shepherds, and all of a sudden, these angels show up and these people appear to tell these shepherds, who are these guys? And all of a sudden, we'd be thinking, these guys have to have connections, right? There has to be something that we don't know about these guys, because this makes no sense. All of a sudden, these angels come forth talking to these shepherds. When we look at God's word before, and we look at God's word after this, it reveals about these shepherds what was so special about them. Nothing. Nothing. The story before gives no introduction to them. Doesn't specify them as being any special shepherds. Doesn't specify them as being anyone really, really faithful or nothing like that. Afterwards, the story just lingers on them for just a moment, and they're never mentioned again in Scripture. Gone. Nothing special stood out about these men. Nothing at all. They were just average, common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill shepherds. And this is where I'd be like, okay, now this makes no sense. Because there's this other reality TV show being filmed only a few miles away. And this one has, man, it has all the promises to be a hit. I mean, because that's what all this reality TV show is, just following people and capturing their stories, right? This one is about this young girl who got pregnant while she was still a virgin. And the dad was going to leave her, but then decided to stay because she said that actually she didn't sleep around on him. God came, and she was carrying the Messiah, the Son of God. I mean, you want to talk about, like, you know, Mary and Joseph plus one, right? Following through the pregnancy, you know? Prego in zero AD, whatever it might be called, you know? Joseph, one Savior and counting, right? Anyone? Duggar family? I don't know. But they're following this young girl and this man. And I mean, this one has all the potential. And people love watching those shows and seeing it. And you get to see this girl go through pregnancy, and there's this turmoil and all this confusion. And the Joseph and Mary, you know, confrontations about what's really the truth, Mary, and all this. Man, all the makings for being one of these great shows. I mean, this one's going to be the one that everyone's going to be watching. Everyone's going to be looking at. Now, if God would have hired me as a marketing director, I would have sat down and said, how are we going to advertise this thing, God? How are we going to advertise this amazing story that's happening right now? And God says, what we're going to do is we're going to get some angels, and we're going to announce it to a couple shepherds. And I'd say, stop. God, stop. Take a step back with me real quick, okay? Take a step back. This is a really, really great story. I mean, an amazing story, one that everybody needs to hear. I don't think that's the best marketing strategy, God. I don't think so. You're just going to tell some shepherds? Is there something really, really special about these shepherds I don't understand? No, they're just shepherds. Okay, I don't think this is a good plan. We got this great story. We hired the angel choir. Do you have any idea how much those guys cost and they're sought after, especially this time of year? Okay, we got this angel choir that's all together, and we're going to have them announce this big thing. I was thinking maybe, God, we should have them go to, like, the king. You know the king who wanted to kill all the babies because that Messiah was being? Maybe if we sent this army of angels, all of a sudden his eyes would just be open. And he'd tell everybody about this coming king, about this son who's a savior. Maybe we should go to somebody who's really, really influential. There has to be someone in the city. I mean, like a mover and a shaker. Somebody who really, really has connections in business. He knows a lot of people. He's a leader. He should be the guy who we're going to go to, because once he hears it, man, he can just send out a tweet, 140 characters or less. Boom, like a million people know about it. 30 seconds later. Maybe we should just take him. We should find somebody else. I don't know, someone more influential, somebody more connected, God. Wouldn't you think? No. We'll just go with the shepherd plan. This is crazy. I can't imagine it. If I was there, I would have said, I don't think this is a good idea. Not only that, but it wasn't even just like these guys were like nearby. Because people say, well, they were near Bethlehem, so it makes sense. They were close by, so that's why they got picked. Bethlehem was flooded with people. Read the story. There was a census. Bethlehem, literally every room was full of people. That's why Jesus had to be born in a stable. Tons and tons of people from all over congregated. Like, this is the perfect scenario, God. We get one really important person, and it's going to change everything. The crazy part about this is that even to us, we don't quite get it. You look back at shepherds in this day, and they're the low of low. Shepherding is what you did when you were a kid. When you didn't really have any skills, you were sent out to be a shepherd. And if you were an older dude and you were a shepherd, it means you didn't make good decisions in life. It meant you didn't go to school, apparently. You didn't decide to invest in your career, and maybe you didn't even take that opportunity to go work harder because you were just comfortable where you were. And you're working a job with maybe some kids who are just coming, you know, out of school. And those are the people you're working with. These people weren't really looked up to in society. In fact, they weren't even connected to society. The shepherds lived outside of town, so they rarely even talked to people. Not only that, but in this culture, where it was predominantly Jewish, These people couldn't even participate in the ceremonial things that they would do for their religion because they were unclean. They worked with animals all day. So they weren't ceremonially clean to come and actually come to like a worship service or something like this. Not only that, but in some areas in this time, they said that shepherds weren't even available to be able to be like used for their testimony in court. Because people thought, if you're a shepherd, you're probably not smart enough to really recall the facts correctly. I mean, they were so normal, so common, super ordinary. I mean, extraordinary people, extremely ordinary. And at the same time, this news that show up was anything but. The news was completely the other direction, something that nobody would ever imagine to get to hear. I mean, talking about the greatest news ever. Jewish people were waiting year after year after year, believing there would be sent a Messiah, but they just figured it was going to be a political king, and instead, now we're coming the Savior King, God becoming man to come to this earth. It says this in John 1, 14 through 17, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone's coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we will have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ.'" Or perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3, 16 and 17, puts it this way, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." To these most ordinary men came the most outside of the norm news ever. You know, extraordinary is a weird name, a weird word. Because most words, when you put extra in front of them, they become very what they are, right? So like, it's salty. It's extra salty. That means more saltiness, right? But this is one of those words where you take that extra, like if it was two words, extra, ordinary, and if you slap them together, it becomes one word, extraordinary. And it means outside of the ordinary. It actually means the whole other way. It doesn't mean more ordinary. It means completely in the opposite direction of ordinary. Extraordinary. And this news that come was extraordinary. God became man, born as a child in a small rural village. Extraordinary. Something that no one was expecting to hear. And this greatest announcement in history that God was coming to earth to save his people was given to the most average people you could imagine. Extraordinary people. Extraordinary news to extraordinary people. Jesus came to give the extraordinary to the extraordinary. The second word, extraordinary, I mean very ordinary. Jesus came to this earth to bring the extraordinary, the completely outside of the common, the miraculous, nowhere near ordinary. He came to bring it and give it to the extraordinary, the super ordinary, the average. God loves those who are average and common, those who don't have it all together. This news is proof of it. Who would we reveal this greatest news in history to? How about a few shepherds out in the field? Just average, everyday, ordinary men. When Jesus went on from this, we see it over and over and over again in his life. He picks out his disciples, and depending on what you read in canon, for sure four of his disciples were fishermen, perhaps six of his disciples. So between one-third and one-half of his disciples were guys who fished for a living. If we're picking a dream team for disciples, my guess is you wouldn't take and go down to the river to look for guys, would you? You look in universities and you look in churches and you look for that. Who's going to be the disciples? Jesus walks down to the lake and he picks guys that smell like fish guts and scales. Average, ordinary men. Fisherman was an ordinary job in this area. Tons and tons of men did this. And he says, I want you to become my disciple. The disciple of the Son of God. Extraordinary. Jesus, as he continued to walk on, he made friends with a guy named Levi one time. Levi became one of his disciples after a season. And Levi invited him over to his house. He said, come on over tonight. We're going to have ourselves a party. Jesus comes there, hangs out. This is what happens in Luke 5:29-32. This is what it says. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors, and that would be somebody that everybody hates in this culture, and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they're sinners and need to repent. Bunch of tax collectors. My guess is when they invited their friends, that meant some of the rough and tumble crowd of the area. Probably meant the dudes that you walking down the street and you saw them, you might cross over to the other side, a little rough looking. Probably meant the women who other women said, you need to stay away from that girl. Probably meant a lot of people who a lot of people talked about behind their backs and said, that person, you know their story, all hanging out at dinner with Jesus. And those religious people just couldn't stand it. It was blowing their mind. How could you hang out with her? And I know her. We all know about her. I know him. That dude's crazy. He just beat the heck out of a guy last week on the street. That guy, he's a cheat. He's a thief. Everyone knows it. How can you hang out with such scum? And Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. What's he saying? He says, I came to give the extraordinary to the extraordinary. To those who are just the average, run-of-the-mill people. Don't have it figured out. Don't have everything together. Don't know everything yet. Don't have all their T's crossed and all their I's dotted. Just average people. Extraordinary. Maybe this time of year, or maybe even just this conversation, it makes you think. I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about Christmas time and how parents were mentioning that they were asking other parents, it would be great if parents realized that the presents you give your kids from Santa shouldn't be these gigantic presents. They should be average presents. Because, see, Timmy's going to go back to school on Monday and say, Santa gave me a pair of socks. And Jimmy's going to come back and say, Santa gave me a motorcycle. And the first kid thinks, well, what's wrong with me? That Santa would only give me this. Maybe it's Christmas time. Maybe it's what you can provide for your family. Or maybe it's just this time of year. Maybe just whatever you're going through. We come to the end of a year and we have this sense to look back over at ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I think all of us come to a place at one time in our life, maybe it's you right now, or maybe you will, or maybe you have, where you kind of look at your life and you think, I turned out a little more ordinary than I thought. Maybe when we were kids, we had bigger dreams, or maybe we had some sort of really special thought about what we were going to do. And we look at our lives and we think, I just kind of turned out so common, so ordinary, not that much different than everyone else around me. I have good news. The God of the universe, man, he came to bring the extraordinary to people just like you and me. Not people who have it all together. Not people who stand out from the crowds and shine so bright that everyone looks at them and says, of course, God would love them. God says, I'm all about just that average, ordinary person. Just that person who's doing their day to day, just trying, doesn't have it all figured out. Just like these few shepherds standing out in the field. God speaks to you today. Unfortunately, he didn't send a choir of angels. He sent me. It's a little bit of a letdown, and I understand. But I'm here to tell you great and glorious news that our God came to this earth as a child. He did so on a rescue mission for our hearts and for our souls. The Bible says that we walked away and our own sin broken from Adam and Eve put us on a path that led us away from God. And that all of us, every one of us, have a nature in us that's broken and sinful. And that as we live our lives, not even really trying, we all bend towards sin and we all continue to rack up this debt of sin in our life. And that sooner or later we have to pay for it, and we pay for it with our death and with an eternal suffering to pay for all that sin that we had. But God found a universal loophole. And he came to this earth as Jesus. And this is this amazing, glorious, extraordinary news. Unlike any other faith in the world, that our God became man and came into humanity to save us. That he lived a perfect life with no sin. And that at the end of his life, when they tried to murder him, he could not die because he had no sin. So he had to carry someone else's sin in order to die. Because he was perfect, he carried all iniquity. His perfection balanced out all iniquity. And that at his death, he paid for every bit of sin, destroying all of its hold on any of our lives. And in a few months, we're going to celebrate it. We know it worked because he came back to life and his disciples saw him once again beat death triumphantly. What's the right response to such great news? We see it right in the story. As the camera crews followed these men in the next few minutes after these angels disappeared, waiting to see what their reaction would be. Luke 2:15 captures it. It says, "The angels had returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished." What's the response tonight? For you, maybe you have never taken a step. And tonight, for the first time, just like those angels you heard, this son has been born and he has come, and he's coming to this earth to be the Savior King, and it makes sense for the first time ever. And you need to react. Maybe it's taking a step of faith and saying, "You know what? I need a relationship with God." Maybe you're not ready to take that step yet. You're not ready to say, "I'm going to take a step of faith and say I need a relationship with God yet." But you hear this and it captures your attention for a moment. And you think, maybe I should at least go to Bethlehem and see if what the angel said was true. Maybe for you it's just saying, "You know what, I'm not sure about all this yet, but I could come back at the beginning of January. I could set aside a few Sundays to come and hear more about this Jesus that you're talking about and see if maybe, just maybe, this really is true." Think about these men for a second. If they would have just stayed there and not went to Bethlehem, what a loss they would have suffered. To be given this great news, and then out of fear or laziness, just lack of concern, just stayed in the fields, doing their everyday, average things. All it took was a step of faith to go and say, "At least let us go check out Bethlehem. And if it's true, perhaps it could change our lives." Jesus came to give the extraordinary to us, the extraordinary. Maybe if you've met Jesus, you need to be like the shepherds and you need to realize that you need to tell everyone. Everyone. After these shepherds had met him, it said they just ran through the city, anybody they could meet. And they said, "This angels came and they talked to me. They said this baby was going to be born. Sure enough, he was. And they said that he is the coming Messiah. Go and see him for yourselves." that maybe that's you. You say, I have a relationship with Jesus. And for the first time ever, you realize, I need to step out in faith. My friends, my family, my coworkers, and say, I heard about this man named Jesus. I went to this place and he touched my life. You need to go and check him out for yourself. You need to go and you need to see. Jesus takes extraordinary people and he makes them extraordinary. 2,000 years later, 2,000 miles away, we're talking about these few shepherds. How amazing. A few guys who were just average, ordinary people. And here we are, thousands of miles away, thousands of years later, talking about them. Would you bow your heads for a second as we respond? Just close your eyes for a second. Give everyone around you just a moment just to have this. And I just want to do two quick things just in response on Christmas Eve. One, if you say, you know, Cameron, I don't have any relationship with Jesus, but I want one. I don't have everything figured out, man. When you say about that extraordinary, that's me. I'm just an average, ordinary person. But if Jesus wants a relationship with me, I'm willing to at least just take a step of faith, see if it's true. I'm willing to offer up my life to him and let him at least have access to my life. I'm willing to take this step of faith of salvation that you're talking about, of accepting this gift that Jesus already did for me. If you know it's you, you can feel it inside your heart right now. And if it's you, what I want you to do is just raise your hand when I count to three. Just raise your hand, and I want to see you, and I want to pray for you. One, two, don't miss it, three. Raise your hand. It's you. I see you right over here, sir. I see you right over here. Anybody else today who'd say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I see you. Let's pray with these, just together, and then we'll continue to respond. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying in my place. Please become the Lord of my life. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed and head bowed for one more second. Just this in response is, as we're finishing out this last part of this year, maybe you have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't yet and you're still saying, you know, I need to give some more of this. What I just want you to do is respond this way. If you say, you know what, I need to go to Bethlehem. I need to take that step of faith in some way or another. Maybe I know my faith a little bit, but I need to take a step. This next year, I can't just stay where I am. I can't just stay out in the field. I need to take a step of faith. Go in and see this Jesus closer. Maybe it's going to be that I'm going to really come here on Sundays and I'm not going to be here and gone and here and gone. Or maybe I'm going to come and say, I want to be part of a group when we get fired up this next year. I want to read the Bible for the first time ever this next year. If it's you and you say, man, I need to take that step to go to Bethlehem. If it's you, you raise your hand on three with me too. And I just want to, just as a reference to God, just to say, God help me. And I want to pray for you. One, two, three. Raise your hand if you're with me. Yeah. God, you see all the hands. I pray, Jesus Christ, that you would just capture their hearts. That you would capture their hearts and you would challenge them as we step into this next year. Just to press into you, to take that step of faith, that as you reveal yourself more and more, just like these angels did to these average, ordinary people, that you would show them the extraordinary things you have for their lives and that they would press into it. They would take that step of faith. Be proven true once again that you are that great and glorious God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that for all of us tonight, you would let our hearts fall on you. You'd let us realize what a blessing it is to serve a God who is so intimate that he came to this earth to save us. Jesus, I pray that you would let our minds fall on that in these next days that as we spend time with family and spend time with friends, we would remember you. I pray, Jesus Christ, that we would bless you with our attitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope it's a great one for you. Come back this next year at the beginning of 2015 for the first Sunday as we talk about a brand new year and a brand new vision. God bless you.